It's expected to be somewhere between $230 billion, which is what the governor proposed, and $246 billion, which is what each house of the legislature proposed. So they're going to negotiate and compromise and probably end up somewhere in between those two numbers.
So where does all that money come from?
Well, it won't surprise people to hear that it comes from your taxes. Most of it, a little more than half, is from the taxes that we pay to New York State. And the state also gets a lot of money, almost $100 billion from the federal government, which obviously comes from our taxes as well. So it's a mix of those two sources.
Break down for people the process, the major steps in the budget process, from where it starts in a given year to where hopefully it's voted on in time.
New York's fiscal year starts on April 1st. So that's the deadline each year to get to a budget. The public process starts in January. The governor gives her State of the State speech. She lays out her priorities for the year. And then a week or two later, she presents her budget proposal, which is called the executive budget, which sort of dots the I's and crosses the T's and gets lays out specific numbers for how she's planning to fund her proposals. Then a few weeks after that, in early or mid-March, the legislature responds. The Senate and the Assembly each issue what's called their one house budgets, which change some elements of the governor's proposal, add money to certain things, take away money from certain things, propose new ideas that weren't in the governor's proposal. And then between then and April 1st, the three parties enter into intense and secretive negotiations that we're now reporting on. And ideally, by April 1st, sometimes a few days or even weeks after that, they come to the agreement on the budget and decide exactly what is going to be in the state's financial plan for the next year.
And when you say the three parties go into negotiations, I mean these are three different aspects of New York State government, but they are ultimately represented by three key people, correct?
Right. So there's a longtime Albany phrase, the three men in a room, which historically is referred to the governor, the majority leader of the state Senate, and the Speaker of the Assembly. So now that's Kathy Hochul, the governor, Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins, leader of Senate Democrats, and Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie, also a Democrat. And so as people note now that the three men in a room has actually become two men, two women and one man in a room, excuse me. And they're really the leads on the negotiations, sort of assisted by their senior staff and their advisors.
I mean, and they're representing their various portions of the government, but I mean, how much leeway do they have to kind of float alone from their representative fleets? It seems like just three people making such big decisions. I mean, are they really beholden to the Assembly, the Senate, and the rest of their administration?
So for the Senate and Assembly leader, I would say the answer is sort of. They are elected by their members, their senators or their assembly members, and they can, in theory, be removed if they make people too mad. That doesn't really tend to happen in New York State government, and I would say the degree to which they're accountable to members is fairly limited, and they have a lot of leeway to operate autonomously and sort of tell members what's going to happen rather than the members telling them what's going to happen. But there is some accountability. These local assembly members and senators definitely pressure their leaders to include certain priorities or to not include elements that they don't like. And as for the governor, she's the boss. She's beholden to the voters and has to be thinking about what they're going to like or not like if she wants to be reelected. But she gets to tell her people whatever the order of the day is, and they pretty much go along with it.
Right, and that makes sense being the executive. But now, so this process, I mean, how does this compare to how other states do it? Because what I've learned in the last couple of years, really paying attention to this, is that so much of what you would think was the purview of legislation, so much about policy is determined in the budgeting process in New York.
Right. And a lot of things that don't even necessarily have to do with sort of dollars and cents get determined through the budget. Like to take one example from this year, The governor is pushing for an expansion of things that are categorized as hate crimes, which doesn't have a monetary impact. It's just a legal change. New York has sort of a famously opaque budget process. We note in this sort of summary that you mentioned that in a 2015 analysis, we ranked dead last for accountability and transparency in our budget process among states. I think people from every state love to complain and say, our state is the worst, our state is the worst. But I don't think anyone would say that Albany is a model of sunshine and transparency. You know, the budget bills are often voted on in the middle of the night, a few hours after they're introduced, and they're hundreds of pages long. So, you know, forget about the public reading them. Lawmakers don't have time to read them. And, you know, I could go on about other elements of the process like that, but there's definitely improvements that could be made in terms of transparency.
Is the whole budget up for negotiation, or are there some things that are rather predetermined?
I mentioned that the governor's proposal was $230 billion, and the Senate and assemblies both were around 246. So $16 billion is a lot to, you know, fight over and try to work out, but it's less than 10% of the whole thing. You know, there's certain things like the state's Medicaid program, funding for public schools, which, you know, they can sort of debate around the margins, should it go up by this much or up by that much? But there isn't any question that like the State University of New York is going to stop getting funded at, you know, over $10 billion a year. That's just like what you need to do to operate these large arms of the state. So there's certainly vigorous and sometimes vicious debate about what should or shouldn't be in the state budget. But in a certain way, it kind of does happen around the margins as a lot of the state sort of runs on autopilot.
Right. And as that debate goes on, and we're in the middle of this process, of course, the public gets involved through various actions, lobbying, demonstrations, talking to the representatives. People put out press releases about things they would like to see. They form coalitions. And that's some of the reporting that we have done in the past as well during this budget time. But I would like you to actually talk now about where does this year's debate lie? Where are the different sides? What are they looking for? Where do they agree? Where do they not agree?
Yeah, so many different places to that you could go with that question in a budget as big and as complicated as New York. I'll just point out one area where they agree and one or two where they disagree. One area where all of the parties agree is on providing New York City assistance to deal with the influx of asylum seekers. You know, the city has been spending billions of dollars providing shelter, health services, social services for the asylum seekers. And Mayor Adams has been very insistent that the city needs help from the state and from the federal government to do it. And so to that end, you know, it's not passed into law yet, but all three parties agree that the Albany is going to send New York City $2.2 billion dollars to help manage that issue. One area where there's really a lot of disagreement, and I think is going to be one of the main points of tension as they get closer to that April 1st deadline, is the state's Medicaid program, which provides health insurance to almost a third of the state, generally to people who are low income, or I think more than a third of the state even. The cost of that program have been going up a lot, and Governor Hochul is proposing to sort of take some measures to trim back that cost. The program would still increase in cost, but it would increase more slowly under her plan, which includes lowering wages for some healthcare workers, lowering the rates that the state pays to people, the providers of Medicaid services, things like that. And both houses of the legislature rejected that plan, and they actually want to expand Medicaid spending very significantly to bring up the rates that are paid to Medicaid providers, and just sort of make it into a more expansive plan. So they're really, I think, not only they disagree on that question, but they're really sort of pulling in opposite directions. So that's going to be a major thing they're going to have to work out.
And of course, these articles are up at WJFFradio.org, and they're also up at NYSFocus.com. But right now, we're looking at an article, Your Guide to the 2024 State Budget Fight from New York Focus, talking to reporter Sam Mellins. And one of the great things is, Sam, New York Focus, you have this graphical breakdown, the comparing budget proposals, so you can see where the three sides are at, the executive, the Governor Hochul, the Senate, and the Assembly. And you can see where are they matching up, where are they not matching up. And I'm looking, sometimes you see that the governor is in a different place where both the Senate and Assembly are, but it seems to me I'm seeing some instances where the government and the governor and the Assembly are more often in agreement than the Senate. Is that just what I'm randomly seeing, or is that anything that you've noticed too?
I think you're onto something there. I think there are some cases where the Senate and the Assembly are sort of trying to present a united front in opposition to the governor's proposals where they've disagreed, like on Medicaid, as I was just talking about, or on the idea of raising the income tax on very wealthy New Yorkers. Both of them want to do that. The governor has said that that's a non-starter this year. But I think there's other cases where you see this alliance emerging, whether formally or informally, between the governor and the Assembly, because I think they both tend toward the more the center of the Democratic Party, a little bit more fiscally conservative in general, whereas the Senate, Democrats took over in 2019, and a lot of progressive members have been elected, were elected then and have been elected since then. They tend more towards the progressive side, more willing to sort of push forward expansions of social programs and of government spending. And so sometimes they find themselves in opposition to the other two parties in that regard.
You're following the money in Albany and around the state. You're looking at how decisions are getting made. What's striking you as interesting in this year's budgeting process?
Well, a few of the things I just mentioned, like whether very wealthy New Yorkers will have their taxes raised, the Medicaid issue. Another one that's interesting to me is the housing question in this year's budget. It's not as big as it was last year when it was sort of one of the central things the budget revolved around, but the governor is still trying. She's very much of the belief that New York State and particularly New York City and its suburbs need to add housing to sort of unlock economic opportunity and affordability so that we don't continue losing people to other states. And she's put forward several measures that are intended to make it easier to do that, like allowing bigger buildings in some areas of New York City, or making it easier to turn basements into legal apartments, things like that. And the legislature has taken the position that for those to even be under discussion, there needs to be a serious effort at bolstering measures that protect tenants, people who rent their homes, and increasing their rights, which is something that the governor has really not been opposed to. She points to the existing tenant protections in New York, which are strong relative to many states. And she's quite close to the real estate lobby and the development lobby, which is very opposed to these measures. So whether they're able to strike a deal after they failed last year is a really interesting question, and I think an important one for the future of New York State.
Yeah, and I thank you for explaining that, because even as I look at what the various sides are proposing under the category of housing, it seems to be a little more nuanced than last year. It seemed like housing stuck out in more clear terms. Clearly, there's things that folks are looking for here, but it's a bit more nuanced this year. On education, though, something that I'm noticing in a lot of these categories here, it seems that the governor is typically under what the Senate and the Assembly are looking for in terms of money for various aspects of education, whether that's school district aid or, you know, child care. They're a bit closer, but the governor still seems like that's education's an area where the governor's looking to save money is what it looks like.
Yeah, and I think the phenomenon that the governor's budget line items will come in under the legislature's is very common. You know, she has her division of budget, which tends to be sort of conservative in estimating how much revenue the state is going to have. I mean, you know, you could say for good reason, they don't want the state to run out of money partway through the fiscal year, and being conservative is a way to ensure that that doesn't happen. But the legislature tends to be a little more aggressive or optimistic about the revenue and what the state is going to be able to do. So that often accounts for those differences you see. I think in education, particularly sort of grade school funding, is going to be a big issue of debate. The governor has proposed not a cut to grade school funding, but le putting less money towards it than was originally slated for this year, to the tune of about $500 million.
And can I just pause and just ask you there, because I noticed that for, $454 million less than planned. Where was it planned? Where was it originally said, hey, this is what we might do?
So each year when the state makes the budget, they pass into law what the budget for the coming year is. And then they project forward into the future what they expect various things to be over the next several years. And sometimes those have to be adjusted if, tax revenue comes in lower, or it could be adjusted for other reasons, as the governor has proposed doing with school aid this year.
So there, the governor isn't making a cut, but is proposing something less than what was originally planned. But the assembly and senate are asking for more there.
Right. They rejected this $500 million reduction the governor proposed and instead want quite a significant boost. And you could think about how these assembly members and these senators are representing quite local areas, where they may have the superintendent of schools or their principals in their district calling them up and saying, "Hey, I'm going to get slammed if this goes through. You have to help me out." And they may be more sort of directly receptive to those pleas or responsive to that pressure, or however you want to put it, than the governor, who has the entire state as her purview.
Sam, we're going to have to get going here pretty quick. Is there anything else you want to let folks know?
No, I mean, just that, as always, we're going to continue tracking this stuff at New York Focus, and folks want to stay up to date, they should come check out what we're putting out.
One real quick question for you. You can choose not to answer. What do you think? Is it going to pass on time this year or not?
This is a big game that's played in Albany every year. Is it going to be late? Is it going to be on time? I think there's reasons why it matters a little bit. I don't think it matters terribly whether it passes on April 1st or April 8th. Uncertainty isn't great for the state, but it's not horrible. And I think, so I'm not going to not answer it. I'm going to say the more important question to my mind is what is in the final budget rather than what precise day it passes. That said, people have been pretty serious about wanting to get this done so they can go campaign. It's an election year. And I think we have a good odds of an on-time budget, though I may be forced to eat my words soon.
I think that was a great answer, and I'm with you on the what's in it is a little more important than when it actually passes. But hey, we're all watching the deadline. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Sam Mellins, New York Focus, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thanks, Jason. Great to talk.